Welcome, and yeah, you'll have the pastor will greet you on your own time, but I just want to take this opportunity. Brother Daniel, God bless you, from Edmonton, is it? How is it there? Cold, eh? God bless you. We praise the Lord. And it's long time. We need to make a refresher because it's maybe 2 months we have not been able to talk about our topic, the church, the new birth. We need to refresh our minds and so that we can pick up and carry on. Amen. Because we don't want to bring new things when many people, you have been too many things, many teachings, many services, and we just need to bring us back to where we were and then pick it from there. So as we know, our main topic was the church, and the theme was the church, and we are developing this topic of the new birth, how to become the membership of the church. How do you become a member of the church? And the church we are talking about is not this local body. The church we are talking about is the body, the mystical body of Jesus Christ, the invisible body. So how do you become a member of that church? And we saw at the beginning that when Jesus introduced that notion of new birth, it was when Nicodemus came to ask him about how he can see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saw something that he didn't understand, and he went to ask Jesus about his ministry, about what he was seeing. But Jesus told him, Nicodemus, you can't understand these things unless you are born again. Because the language I'm speaking is the language of a different kingdom. And you can't see that kingdom unless you are born again. If you read in John 3, thank you. John 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus came naturally because he saw Jesus performing miracles. He saw Jesus speaking with wisdom. He wanted to know more. But Jesus said unto him, you are coming carnally, because you are coming on the basis of what you seen with your natural eyes. But you can't see exactly what I'm talking about unless you are born again. Amen. You can't see the kingdom. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So we see there that Nicodemus couldn't really get into the same vision with what Jesus was talking about unless he was in the same dimension with him. Amen. I illustrated it with when I spoke about how our children come to the earth. If before they come to the earth, where they are, we don't know. If it's a world where they exist and they have life, they have conscience, you can go into that world where they are before they come here and start telling them about how pizza is tasty, how tea and coffee, and they can't understand anything because they are not born in this world where we eat pizza. Amen. You need to bring them to this world. Then they can see, even when you talk about pizza, they know now what pizza is because they are born in this world. Amen. If they are in a different world, you can't go them and telling them about the goodness of the internet. And you are speaking Chinese or Japanese to them because they are not born into this world where we have the internet and all these things. Yeah. So for you to understand the kingdom of God, you must be born in that kingdom. Then you can understand the language of the kingdom. Then you can see the kingdom. So we saw that Jesus didn't need to be born again. Why Jesus didn't need a new birth? Because his birth was, he was the kingdom himself. He followed a process which we didn't follow to come to this earth, to be in this flesh. The prophet says in, who is this Melchizedek? He says, now the difference between him and you, he was at the beginning the world and unmorphed a body. He came in and lived in that, in the person of Melchizedek. Then later we never heard no more of Melchizedek because he became Jesus Christ. But he became Jesus Christ. Now you bypass that. We bypass that. Amen. Because in that form, he knew all things. And you have never been able to know that yet. So he was the Word. He became a theophany, which is Melchizedek. And then he became flesh. The prophet says, you come like Adam, like me. You became from the attributes to the flesh to be tempted. We have never become the Word. Amen. We have never been the Word. We've just become the flesh man, not the Word. So that's why in this flesh, in this body where we are, obeying the Word is a very difficult thing for us. Because the body has never been the Word. Sin is something natural, normal for us. That's why when you are born, who has ever told his child how to lie? Nobody. Who has ever told his child how to, I don't know, steal or whatever? That you don't need anyone to teach you. It's natural. When you are born, the little girl there, you see her start crawling, she see you coming, she stops. Amen. She doesn't even know how to speak or whatever, but she knows that mommy doesn't like this. So I need to lie that I wasn't scrolling to go and touch it. So she just stops. When you turn your back, she starts again. Why? It's natural for this body to lie. It's natural for this body to sin. So that's why you don't know, you don't do any effort. It's natural. Not only is natural, and it's pleasant. Amen? Sin is very pleasant. I don't know if I'm wrong. But anything you do to please this body is very pleasant. You don't force anyone to go into a disco. He will go even before they open. I remember a man, he was a drunkard back home. 5 o'clock in the morning. Because when they close that pub at 2 a.m., they need to pull him. You know, they need to pull him to come and lock the door. 5 o'clock in the morning, he's back at the pub and banging at the door. Do you need money or not? I want to drink. No. So he doesn't need anyone to push him. But to come to church, it's something that this body is not used to. You have to make an effort to bring it to come to church. It's not natural. So seeing anything that's please, this body is easy for us to do it. Why? Because we are born in a natural birth, which is a birth of sin. But listen, Jesus Christ didn't need, it was actually the opposite for him. It was actually the opposite because for him, he had to make an extra effort to sin. He's never sinned. Amen. He has never sinned. But from his nature, it took something extra for him, even if he wanted to sin. The same amount of effort we put to leave the world is almost the same amount he will need him to go the other way. Just an illustration. When it came time for him not to sin, but to become sin. Amen? Because it was part of the duty. It was part of the commission that you have to go there and become sin, to die for them, and then to redeem them. When he left there, that was the commission. And he came, he said, yes, Father, I will go and die for them. But when the time came now, he realized what it is exactly to become sin. He could see that his nature is not compatible with what the Father was asking him to do. He was even ready to disobey the Father. Amen. That's the only time when he came, he said, Father, I don't want to take this thing. His whole life, he said, I do my Father's will. But when it came the time to drink the cup, he went and said to the Father, you know that my nature is not the same. This thing you are asking me to do is not compatible with my nature. That's why he went and he prayed with agony, because it was something he couldn't do. It was something that naturally it couldn't match with his body, with his nature. And he was almost ready to say, Father, for this I won't take it. Please. But as long as he was the word, and the Father told him that you know that drinking the cup is part of the word. Amen. That's the only thing that made him drink the cup, because becoming sin was the word. Are we together? Becoming sin, drinking the cup, was part of the word. And he said, as long as I am the word, and becoming sin is the word, then I will drink the cup. That's the condition, the only way he could become sin. And he accepted it, just to fulfill the word. So you see, the amount of effort it took him to accept to drink, it's almost the opposite with us to become children of God. We have to go on our knees, pray and fast, and just to overcome this word on the opposite direction. Him, it was to live from there to come there. As it is to come from there to reach where he is. So it is very important to understand the importance of the new birth, because we are born in sin. And since we are born in sin, to live now, you have to kill that nature of sin. That's why the prophet says, the way to the new birth is death to self. Because you can't have two lives at the same time. We have started in a life. When Jesus comes and talks about getting born again, it doesn't mean it's a continuity. It means you have to stop your first life and then start a new life. That's why the prophet says it's a process of death. Anything that lives again has got to die first. And you cannot keep your same spirit. You cannot keep your same habits. You cannot keep your same thoughts. You've got to die. You've got to die like he died. You've got to die on his altar, like Abel did with his lamb. Die to your own thinking, to be born to his thinking. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. Amen. So that's what it takes. The prophet shows it by the grain of wheat. If you want to take, because in that natural grain of wheat, there's life inside. But to bring that life to live again, to be manifested, the external life must die first. You have to put it in the ground, and from there, the old body, when it's dead, it takes death of the old nature to manifest the new nature out of that grain of wheat. Are we together? So everything in the Christian life, everything in the Christian experience is based on death. We have to die first. You have not begun your Christian experience if you are not dead to yourself first. It takes birth to produce new birth. Sorry, it takes death to produce new birth. That's why you see Paul, when he realized that, he had his life before, he was born in a certain manner, he was educated in a certain way, but he came to realize that he needs to be dead first if he wants to be someone in Christ. If he wants to go anywhere in Christ, he was to die first to himself. That's why in Romans chapter 6, if you can give us, from verse 1, Paul now is talking about his own experience. After having been that great Pharisee, the big person of great renown, and all his past, now he has experienced the new birth in Christ. He has come to meet Christ and is born in the kingdom. Now look now how he is illustrating it in his own experience. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? That's the first thing he mentions. Die, dead to sin. We are. He can relate himself as someone who is already dead to sin. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into his death. Paul is not only referring to his death, but you must be dead and buried. Amen. It's not a process of pretending dead, because someone can pretend. You can pretend you are dead. We know it happened. Many kings in the past, they just pretend to be dead to see how people will react. And after they raise and kill everyone. Amen. But to make sure that you are dead, we'll take you and go and bury you. Because that's the time of truth now. When it's time to put you in the grave, you say, oh man, you are going. And if you were not really dead, it will prove that your old life was still there. That old king was there with his old life still there, but pretending to see who is saying what. He can hear, that one say he's going to take my wife. That one says he's going to take my throne. That one is not dead to himself. And then when he comes, he says, okay, I was not dead, so I'm going to deal with you now. Let someone walk on your toes. Amen. When a body is dead, completely dead, we can take a fire, you know, and bring it, lit the fire and put it on your toes. The dead body will still stay there, completely, you know, still, and no reaction. It will be there. They can step on your toes. They can set you on fire. They can. That's the real process of death. Are you really dead? Are we really dead to ourselves? Or we are playing dead? If you are playing dead, God will show it. And you just need to make sure that if you want to enter the kingdom, you are dead to that yourself. Paul says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Dead, like he did, he died, you'll be into his likeness in the new life, in the resurrection. You'll be like him. As he was the Word, you will raise in that nature of obeying to the Word, in that nature of a person who is born again, like he was. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Amen. Amen. That's what it takes to be born again. our old man has been crucified with him. And my brother, let me tell you, I don't know, because we don't realize exactly what crucifixion was. Because nowadays, in the modern age, we see people with a cross and representing Jesus on the cross. They are proud, walking, I'm a Christian. It's a horrible death. It's horrible. I prefer to be shot. You know, it cuts the things short. They just shoot you, you are dead, and that's it. They put you on an electric chair, you are gone, that's it. But crucifixion, the Roman made it not only to kill you, but to torture you before you die. It was taking almost 6 hours. Almost 6 hours. And if you are not dead after the 6 hours, they'll come and break your legs. Why? Because the legs, crucifixion is made in a way to strangle you, but slowly. But as long as you are leaning on your legs, it gives you some more, you know, it slows the process. So you are getting some more time, you are gaining time. But as long as you have no support anymore on your legs, it will bring you quickly to death. So after they are happy that you have suffered enough, they say now it's time to let him die, they'll bring a big hammer and break your legs so that you won't have the support anymore, and then it will quicken the process of death. That's what crucifixion was. It was designed to make you realize that you have, you know, you have been disobedient to the king, to the emperor. And what you have done, not all, because if we kill you now, you won't realize what you have done. We need to keep you for a long while in a slow process of death while you are in deep, deep suffering. They put live nails, with no anesthesia. Amen. Because nowadays, they've made things very easy for us. They put you, they give you a shot there, you don't feel anything. Even our sisters, when they go to give birth, they put now a shot there, you won't feel anything. But that one, it was not a scenario. It was a real one. And he was there, crucified. And that's what Paul is referring to. You be crucified with him. Accept to be exposed naked. Accept that anyone who passed by will say, this is the man who are say claiming he is the Son of God. Look the way he has been exposed wrongly. But everybody agreed to say he is a sinner. He has been crucified because of his sin, because he blasphemed, because of this and that. Will you accept that your honor, your reputation be wrongly stepped on because of something you didn't do? This is what the death Paul is referring to. Being crucified, to die with him. He says that this body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. That's where we are going. You are born in sin, but to be released, to be discharged from that life of sin, you need to die to sin. And when you are dead, you are now walking, you are ready to enter the kingdom. The only way, because you know, even the Bible says, a woman can get married only if the old husband is dead. Amen. It's not a divorce. Because divorced with sin, it means sin, your old husband is still alive somewhere. And as long as he is still alive, as a woman, as a church, as a body, we can't be born again. We can't be born in Christ as long as we are still living in sin. So it must be a process of death, complete death. It must be testified that the old husband, you are dead to the old husband, then you are free to get married again. Amen. Then you are free. Everybody will testify. There's a death certificate. The minister will say, this woman, we know her husband. He has been buried in such and such graveyard. We have the birth certificate here. Now we can marry her to this other man because she meets the requirements. We must be dead completely to our old husband who is seen to be ready to be born in the kingdom. Just to close, the prophet says, now, that don't mean turn a new page. But actually die and be born again. Amen. You've got to feel so guilty when you stand in his presence. You've got to be so guilty and feel so guilty till it kills you. So you must hate your old life. You must come to the point of saying, I don't like it anymore. Amen. You feel guilty. You separate yourself from it. That's the only way you can die to it. You can't die when you still love it. You can't die when you still have some interest over there. He says, you must feel so guilty that it will kill you. Your worldly life will be die right there. Until your worldly life dies right there, the sin question is over for you when you are standing in his presence. Amen. So that was it for today. Let's go meditating on this because we want to go forward. We are, as we said, our main team is the church. We want to become members of the church. And for us to be in the church, you have to die to yourself. For us to become members of that church, you have to be born again. And that new birth starts with death to self. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Dear Lord, we thank you once again. Take now the leadership. Take control. Let everything be for your glory in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you.